Done.
Really?
Goodness, we're still
Boy.
having issues.
I know. I know.
I
You
know.
know.
Good morning.
Now becoming as much, we're becoming conditioned.
Yeah, pretty
It's
much.
we're going through the transmigration of Spotify to John and Mary Lee,
That's right.
to where their oneness is becoming distorted and therefore inefficient, and we are now being designed by their algorithm to not know the difference. Yep.
Just anticipate the problem. That's right.
I'm
How are you?
good. Good. I want to say happy birthday to Jane Goodall. She's today's her birthday.
Wow, how old is she?
And she's, I'm not going to ask her.
Okay.
she's probably old enough. She's sort of the gorilla orangutan woman,
Yes.
opened up Africa forever for everybody. See what else can I talk about? Oh, and then Sabin Hoffenfelder, who is not the transmigration person, but the physicist who talks about Einstein quite a bit in general relativity and special relativity, and I think that we talk a lot about space-time in our conversations.
Yeah.
I just throw it around like it's free,
Yeah.
but it really is a thing, and at some point we should expand on what that really means, because in the context of someone who would be listening to us and thinking, what the hell are they talking about? You know, there's some pretty simple examples, really,
Okay.
of time dilation and stuff like that. If you were to, you want me to cover one of them now, or do you want to wait
Sure,
till you?
you're on a roll. Keep going.
Yeah, but I'm not on drugs either. I mean, I'm not on oxy or
Okay.
nothing
Okay,
for
good.
pain. A couple Tylenol. That's all about
Okay, that's great.
it. So, in relative terms, special relativity, and Einstein is the guy that essentially taught us all that your time and my time are not the same time. Before Einstein, everybody thought that time was time. You looked at your watch, and that was the time. Then your time, but that's never has been the case, especially not since after Einstein. Everything is relative based on the time it takes to get something done and the warp and power of mass and gravity.
Yeah.
And the way to think about that, I think the simplest format is to be like when do what you're always doing, sitting holding your phone, for example. And let's say it's 18 inches or 12 inches away from your head, whatever that is, all right?
Yeah.
So you're holding your phone, all right? Now that is the relationship of your phone to you at that point. If you move the phone away from you and down to the desk or wherever you are and set it down, what just happened? What just happened is that in relative terms, everything in the universe just changed. Your relationship to your phone just changed, but your phone's relationship to the universe just changed. Everything changes. Every time there's a movement, everything in creation changes in unison to that move, because everything is relative to everything else. Now, that's very complicated, but that's what's going on. And to the extent that we are traveling at certain speeds, we end up with t that's the I won't cover time dilation right now, but that's it. So that's relativity. That's general relativity. Everything is relative. People talk about relative. It's just relative. That's just relative. Well, that's no shit, Sherlock. Everything is relative, absolutely, to everything else. There's no exception to that. None.
Well, to your
Okay.
point about change, right? Moment to moment, right?
Yes,
With
yes.
every move. Well, that's the subtitle of my book, yeah.
Yes. The
Yeah.
subtitle? Oh,
Yeah.
yes. Yes, one move at a time. Yes. Winning
One
by,
move at a time.
yeah.
So if you're
Wait, well,
looking
wait, well,
for
winning by virtue, right?
winning by virtue, one move at a time.
Right.
But
Yeah.
if we understand the connection between what you're teaching me now, about time dilation, it means that everything we do is a move. You're in the moment. So if you were just first learning the game, you're trying to understand the concept because you're thinking, okay, one move at a time, meaning chess, you only get one turn and they get a turn. But it's much deeper than that. And the more you focus on the game and how all the pieces go together, and you'll look up and at your life, you realize, oh my God, that's what that is. So right now, while in this conversation, that's what that is. One move at a time. What are you doing right now? Right now, right now. It's not just in front of a player.
It's every it's yeah sure yeah I get it. Yeah, you're right. It's everything in relation to existence. You really are in play all the time
All the
with the
time.
universe.
There's
You're in
no
play with the
escape.
universe all the time.
That's right. There's no escape.
Yeah, that's right.
That's why, for those who don't want to play the game and think, whatever it is, their attitude is it before knowing what it is, don't understand that you don't have a choice. We're always in play. And so you're either ignorant to, to how to play, or you're learning how to play. And when we learn how to play, your whole life changes because moment to moment, one move at a time, you're recognizing what you do and the seeds that you're planting in the future. And what I mean by the future is in the next moment. Sure, 5 years, 10 years from now, sure, because it all adds up. But in the next moment is, you want to do the right thing right now because in the next moment you want favor. And you have to keep up that pace in the next moment. And as long as you walk that fine line, everything opens up and it's just amazing. And then talk about time. I just can't believe how, like for me, I understand it's going faster, but not as fast as other people. Like I look around, for example, my neighbor just recently passed away, and I just found out about it. I literally just found out about it like just days ago, and I was kind of shocked. And then when I inquired about it was like 8 weeks ago, and I'm like, what? And I had to think, when was the last time I saw her? In my mind, I don't know. It was just 8 weeks went by. When? How did that happen? And then I was talking to another neighbor and he tells me, oh yeah, I said, well, how old was she? And oh, I don't know, like her 50s. And he said it so nonchalant, like it was okay. Like she hadn't lived long enough. And I'm like, what are you talking about? Just the attitude behind that. It blows my mind. And this is what we're talking about with the perception of time. To me, 50s is young. You're just barely getting started. What are you talking about? And to other,
Yeah, I mean, yeah,
yeah.
living a long time. I mean, I barely remember 50.
Right.
So,
Right. And it was completely unexpected. And, I didn't go into that, but just the idea of, for me, here I am just doing what I do and I'm just rowing my boat and I'm just so happy from moment to moment. I look back and go, wait, what happened? When? How? It's just amazing to me.
Well, I think there's something to that in relativity. Maybe not as in relativity in the context of Einstein, but in your relationship to the universe. You probably have seen your neighbor since she's dead. And you however you saw her, you probably saw her. Yeah.
Well, I don't know about that. I did notice that I hadn't seen her in a while because she had a habit, a daily habit of standing outside just smoking a cigarette and looking down at her phone.
Well, that could be part of the answer to why she died.
Well, yeah, but I'm thinking to myself, God, you gotta stop doing that. And that was her daily thing, like whenever I saw her. So when I didn't see her standing there, just smoking away on her phone, I thought, I wonder where she what happened to her. But 8 weeks?
So as you describe her right now, standing there smoking and looking down at her phone,
Yep.
can you manifest her then in any form? I mean, you've got her in your brain.
Yeah.
What can you do with her? Can you do anything with her?
I didn't really know her.
doesn't make any difference. Can you get to her somehow?
And well, I don't. Oh, are you asking me if I can communicate with
Yeah.
the other side?
Well, yeah, well, in general terms, I don't like to use those phrases because they always set off the wrong tone.
Well, no, I don't claim to be able to do that, especially people I don't know. I would never claim that. However, in my own little world, in my circle, I truly do believe that. I get blessings, I mean, all day long. Like, for example, today I'm out walking the dogs, and there's these two beautiful, no, three beautiful pine trees in one of the neighbors' yards. They are so big, they're out of place. Three of them in this little yard. And I'm just thinking, wow, I mean, it looks like a forest right there. And months and months and months ago, I was standing under it, and that's when immediately I was told that I'm insulated. And I was like, oh, thank you. Okay, I got the message. So today I revisited the trees and I just decided to like touch the needles. And I was like, oh, like you are really soft. I wasn't expecting that because pine. And it was just, they were just very soft needles on these weepy branches and stuff. And then I see a car come behind me and park and right next door. And the guy comes out like he's got something to tell me. And I look at him and I'm like, good morning. And he starts talking to me about the dogs. And we got on this conversation where, he basically told me, stop feeding him the chicken and the beef because it's so bad. And he was saying how the chicken, he had a either a friend scientist or something like something, I don't remember what industry it was, but they cut open the chickens and they take out all those cancerous cells and the gross things that are in the chicken. And it's beyond me. Like I just can't eat it, and I didn't know if it was just me or what. And the dogs refuse to eat it. They're just like, I don't want that. And I'm thinking there's got to be something wrong with that. Then recently I had bought organic grass-fed, quote unquote, from Trader Joe's, which we don't have to go there, but it was ground beef. And I thought, well, my dogs are being so picky, let me just make up some hamburger meat real quick. And even that, they were just like, I don't want that. I'm thinking there's got to be something wrong with this meat if my dogs will not eat it. It's got to be pure slime or something, and they just label it grass-fed. I'm not sure, but I don't trust it. I'm not claiming, I'm not saying anything like that. I'm just saying it's suspicious, And he says, no, don't give him that stuff. He said lamb and fish, give him fish. And I'm like, okay. And he raises, he has a Great Dane, and he rescues golden retrievers. And he was talking about their hips and what happens to them and how long they live and this. And so he was making small talk with me about my dogs and how old they were, and was giving me this tip about what food to give them. And it's called Chews. He goes, look it up. You can look it up online. He goes, that's the best one. They will tell you what kind of food to give your dog. And I'm like, there's my answer. I've been struggling with this for day, well, more than that, but just most recently, like on my mind going, what am I going to feed my dogs? If I give them canned dog food, it gives them diarrhea. If I give them chicken or meat, they refuse to eat it. I'm thinking, what am I going to feed you? And there's my answer. Pine tree, right there. What are the chances of that, John? What are the chances of me admiring the pine tree, touching the needles, and all of a sudden, boom, the neighbor shows up with something to tell me?
Well, slim and none, I guess.
Most people get out of their car, they'll say good morning and keep walking and going on their way. They'll go in the house. I've never met this neighbor before.
But that doesn't make him the purveyor of good information. It just makes him a person who wants to talk to you. I mean,
No.
what's his story on fish?
Whitefish only and salmon. Yeah, we didn't really go a deep dive in that, but that's what he was saying.
Yeah.
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 Yeah, I
Well,
can't stand it. Like,
I would take that advisedly, but
oh, I can't stand it. All the chicken, like chicken meals of any kind from any fast food place. You don't know what's in there. You don't know.
oh no, you really don't know. I mean, you really don't know.
No.
It's the spectrum is really broad.
Right.
From pure beef to the second shift's shoelaces. I mean, you never know what else is there.
Well,
So, yeah.
yeah.
However,
So,
you're a big you're a fan or a you're a warnings siren against poison in foods, and I think that in today's market, you could just about indict everybody that's not in the natural food business that there's going to be some trouble with their food, and there's stomach cancer is practically out of control, I think, and
Right.
I think that's a lot has a lot to do with it.
Okay, but
I think.
I want to make a point though. I want to stress that how natural it is for me to tell you a magical moment just happened right there. A gift was given to me. And you're saying, no, I maybe just want to talk to you. See, that's the difference. When we just look at everything like, it's not a big deal, they just want to do this, they just want to do that. You're just letting it roll, and you're not accepting the gift, then you slow your gifts down because you're denying what the universe is giving you. It's very important to recognize every gift that's given to you. I didn't have an answer about the food for my dogs, and now just moseying along, doing my own thing. Like, I can look down my neighborhood right now, I can't see one person in sight. And this man drives up like he's in a hurry. Because
All right.
had it
No,
been
I.
any longer, I would have kept walking and he wouldn't have had the opportunity to talk to me.
Right. I accept that. I accept that. I mean, I accept your admonishment there. I do. You're right. You're right. You're right. I'm not. I mean, I can't accept that you're right.
Okay. All right. It's
Okay.
just so much more magical than we allow it to be.
Yeah, I okay. But yeah.
You want to agree one more time?
Well, it's an advisory agreement because I'm still stuck in the intent, or if not the intent, then the quality of the information. The gift is one thing, but what you're getting the gift from could be even worse than what you're getting. I don't think it's always up.
What do you mean?
Well, the implication here is that the gift is you allow the gift to happen, and there's your gift, and now you have your answer. My position is the answer could be complete bullshit. And he
Well,
was, you
that's the
know.
negativity. So you don't understand that God is always good. It's always good. The gift is good. It's never bad. There's no such thing as bad. It's good all the time. What are the chances of me stopping to talk to the same pine tree and then getting another gift from the tree?
I understand that part. I understand the process. I mean, I intellectually know what you're saying about the tree, the stop, the guy, he's out of context, but then he's in context. You know,
Yeah.
you talk about the dogs, da da da, the food. Don't eat this. Maybe he's a Chewy. Does he sell Chewy? This guy.
No. Why are you're such a skeptic? Why? There's absolutely no agenda. It was just timing. It was time. I could have been
Well,
across the street, down the street. I could have been anywhere and not gotten my answer.
I mean, it's a beautiful formula. It is. It's a beautiful formula. And I suppose if we just go back to the opening statements after we said happy birthday, you know, Joan Goodall, is that what happened to you does work in special relativity, that everything happens in concert with everything else, just like the subtitle of your book and what happened, what was very good. And so I have to work at getting out from underneath the skepticism that the guy, you know, I mean, I vet everything. I mean, I do, you know, I'm a research scientist for Christ's sake. And I've got it,
You
it's
know
hard to
that
get away
the
from
found
that.
because the foundation of that is trust. That's a trust
Well,
issue.
yeah, trust but verify. You know, I mean, speak softly but carry a big stick. You know, I believe in Theodore Roosevelt.
Yeah, but you're taking the power back because you don't trust. You think it's all bullshit.
Well,
Everybody
some.
and their story and whatever it is they're selling and this and that. So you're going to research it, make up your own mind, which is valid. Okay, we can't be that gullible. However, when you cross over to the right room, you know that everything is working in your favor. Everything is good all of the time. As long as you are operating moment to moment with the intention to put love first, then you will see how the universe opens up and everything's working in your favor. So even when it looks a little threatening, whatever it might be, you're like, oh no, what do I do about this problem? You have to just hold on and understand that your answer is coming. It's to your benefit. And you're like, oh, thank you. I didn't know. I mean, that's happened to me many times over. I'm like,
I imagine
oh.
it probably happens to you every single day. I
Well,
mean,
it's just amazing. I could tell stories. I don't want to tell those stories, but I just sit there and I literally have to sit down and just stare out the window and think, how does this happen? I'm stunted. Literally. I'm like, okay, I got to just go and sit and be quiet. Just
so
think
you're
about this.
protected. And you believe you were told by the trees that you're protected from evil. You're protected. You're somehow
Insulated was the word.
insulated from, but you're insulated by God or somebody, by something.
Don't know.
You're insulated by something away from evil, away from bad.
Correct.
Okay. So with that knowledge, then when this guy stops and pitches you on Chewy, you've got nothing to worry about in
Nothing.
your context. Okay.
What would I have to worry about?
Well, it's sort of a, you know, it's not a particularly extreme example, so you probably nothing. And I think you've got the presence of mind to realize that the guy's dangerous, depending on what he, you know, what was going on. I
So,
mean, if he was trying to jack your car, it'd be different. So.
exactly. So, okay, let's just take that little bit right there. Yes, I do have the awareness and the intelligence to understand that because the game tells me so. There are rules that can't be broken. So, as soon as my player comes into view, I recognize that immediately. People are always, it doesn't matter what their intention is. It doesn't matter what the agenda is, how they're trying to cover up, whatever they, from the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. And if you can get really good at identifying the rules when people speak, That's when you know. Oh, sorry. Can't trust you. Can't trust you. Thank you very much. I'm moving on. And that's it. And it's not to judge other people. It's not prejudging. It's not like, it's just a knee-jerk reaction based in fear and I have trust issues. It's unknowing. And it's nothing against that person. It's just I need to make sure I'm staying in the right room.
Yes. I mean, it's impossible to disagree with you. I bring this up many times. Okay, I understand that. I intellectually, I keep saying the word intellectually, but that's true. I get your story. I really do, and I revel in it sometimes, most of the time. But then I'm put to the test personally. You know, I'm walking down the street, just had a conversation with three pine trees. This guy rolls up in a car, jumps out, looks at my dog, and tells me, "What are you feeding your dogs?" Or don't do this, or don't do that, or whatever it is. Pitches Chewy to me, right? What do I do? What am I doing in that point? I'm in the "Who the hell are you?" context almost immediately, and as
That's a
you're
trust issue.
I know it is. I know it is.
Yeah,
And
yeah, yeah.
you're in the game, and you're following the rules of the game, and you're looking for signals that will cause this guy to either win or lose based on who he is, based on your observation. And your observation is intuitive, so your observations are correct in context. But
Yeah, but okay.
yeah, I mean, I'm agreeing with you. I'm generally agreeing with you, generally.
Okay.
Because, I mean, well, because there's no choice. That's one of the what it's one of the that's one of the fatal flaws of arguing against the game, against you. There's no win in that scenario. There's no win because you win every time. But I mean, you win by default. It's a default win. It's like when the game starts, put the box down, check mark, win merrily, and then begin, because that's where you're starting, if it's that kind of a discussion.
Right.
Because of the way you've divined, or divined and designed the game. I get that.
Right. Okay, but to use your words, I win by default. Okay. The reason I win by default is because my player has shown me that they are not in the right room as opposed to the left room. They're not in the right room with me. So if they're not there by default, they're in the left room. So I win because by default, I am in the other room. That's why.
So for me to confuse your method, then for me, I would have to drive up, stop, get out, look at you, smile at you, and say, "I have some really good information about the best dog food in the world, but I'm not going to
Okay.
tell you."
I don't
Now, where
understand.
does it, well, that's is that what you say to me? I don't understand.
No, I don't
Is that
understand where you're
your
going with that example.
Well, you don't have to.
What do you
You don't
mean we're
have to.
talking?
You're the expert here. You're the expert.
To understand where you're going with that. Okay.
Right.
Okay. Well, let's put it in context, though. He didn't just, drive up, park in a hurry, and just say, "Hey, lady, I got some food to sell you." He pulled into his driveway. He lives there and was just getting out of his car.
And you have me walking by. Close at hand.
I actually wasn't walking, I was just admiring the pine trees,
Okay.
which
All
was
right.
his neighbor.
All right. So it's all safe territory for everybody at this point. Are you aware that he's your neighbor and he's aware that you're his neighbor?
I
With
don't,
all,
I'm
well, you don't,
just,
yeah.
it doesn't matter. I'm just a woman walking my dogs. You know
Yeah,
what I
you don't
mean?
appear to be threatening at that point. No, you're fine.
But remember, I'm walking my dogs knowing that everything is good all of the time. I have nothing to fear. When this man got out of his car and, started talking to me or whatever, I'm anticipating the gift. What are you going to give me?
Well, what I, yes, okay, but what I brought to the table was that was that everything is relative, and you and this guy are relative to each other. And the earth and the entire universe is adjusting based on your relationship with this guy at that moment. And of course, everything else. But for purposes of focus, it's with this guy. Okay. The entire universe has got you guys in its clutches, and it's reacting to what you're doing.
Yes.
And you're happy with the results because you're never not happy. You're always happy. You're always receiving the gift. This guy was a gift in your
Yeah.
context. He was a gift. And he just got lucky on the chewy food thing,
Yeah.
too. I buy chewy food,
You do?
by the way.
All this you're giving me and you
I have an account with
God.
Chewy,
So
but
you
that's
could
another.
testify for the You are
I forgot to bring
so
that.
bad. Shame on you. Okay, go on.
I buy Chewy Instinct, which is a type of Chewy
Okay.
in the Chewy format. Anyway, I'm still waiting for, I guess it's my imperfection or my lack of trust or my something. I mean, I could feel this in our conversation yesterday that, well, that you have a you you are a pure form of existence, and I am a very unpure form. I'm like a rock pile compared to you, you know? I mean, if you're the castle, I'm the moat. And
I have used that analogy a time or two.
I don't, but I have, but my position has merit once in a while too. It can save you from extreme harm,
How?
extreme harm. Well, just because of the intent. I mean, you're going to tell me that you'll see it coming. I'm going to tell you that's naive. I think that it works
I
most of
didn't
the
say
time.
that. I didn't say I would see it coming. The trees told me I'm insulated. It's totally different.
So if the guy goes for you, he wants to grab your purse and run, and you don't see it coming, what do you, when he grabs your purse and runs, what broke down there?
The
What
guy
part
can't
ran?
see me, John.
Oh, so he doesn't know you've got a purse. Oh,
That's the whole point of it. You want to elevate. Elevate. You're not in the cesspool. I'm not down there.
yeah. Okay.
So all those fears and everything, it's like, no, I live where there's only gifts and beauty and everything is good because God is good all the time. So you're always anticipating the gift. And you never know what's going to come. And my goodness, it's just been wonderful.
So, you and I are sitting at a sidewalk cafe in either Rome or Paris,
Okay.
one of the two. And you throw your shoulder strap purse over the back of your chair.
Yeah.
And we order a coffee.
Okay.
And 12 minutes into the conversation, your purse disappears. By a guy who runs for, he starts two block a block and a half away. He starts trotting toward you because he's like a bird. He spotted your purse from a block away, and by the time he gets to you, he's at a full run. Grab your purse, and he's going so fast that you just can't react at all because he's there and he's gone. Okay. Now, in your context of insulation, where are you in that deal?
I'm right there
You
with
just
you
lost
having coffee
you
and
just yeah, but you just lost your purse
no, I didn't.
and your passport.
No,
Well,
no.
because he didn't see you, because he didn't see you,
Right, you're
right?
assuming
You
that that would happen. What you're saying is the guy is charging toward me,
Right.
right? With the intent to. So
Well,
we
let's take
can't
it
go,
further.
yeah.
I'm going to say that he's going to do it. He's going to actually win, grab your purse, and he'll be gone. By the time you get your head snapped up, he will be 75 feet up the street at a full gallop.
Why must you insist that evil will win?
I didn't say he was going to win.
No,
I said
that's the win, right? That's the win. He grabbed my
what, if he stole
purse.
your purse?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, no, not necessarily, because you could have an orange bomb in your purse that you click and set it off,
No,
and he turns orange.
okay, I'm not going to have that. And then we can't be arguing with examples that are, unrealistic. The bottom line is, if I'm sitting there having coffee with you and this whoever has ill intent, he will be cut off. He can run full force. Somebody's going to trip him. The car's going to go in front of him. I'll pivot. He'll trip. Who knows? I don't know. I don't know.
And you absolutely believe that, don't you? You believe that.
100%. And in the event that it did happen, so what?
Ah, let's go there.
Okay.
Let's take up the so what part,
Okay.
which absolutely underwrites the strength of your position, because nothing can be wrong. Even if it's wrong, it's still right.
Right.
I mean, what is that called? What is that called? In golf, it's called a mulligan, I think, isn't it? Where you give yourself permission to be right no matter what.
It's
If you don't hit the cup with the one ball, I got four more when that came from, and just keep dropping balls till I hit the cup.
it's not really about giving yourself permission to be right. It's about living in faith. It's not about being right. I just completely trust the universe has got my back.
Yes.
So if there is ill intent by somebody, God help them. The thieves, the robbers, those who kill and maim and cause pain to others,
Right.
if
All right,
they
so he's running toward your purse.
Okay.
We have take this and play it backwards. He's running toward your purse. He's 50 feet away at a full gallop. He's coming in. And he utters to himself, "God help me. I need this for my family. My son is starving to death." Grabs your purse and runs.
Yeah.
Now what?
You bless it and release it. All that stuff can be replaced. He needs it.
Yeah.
It's just money. It's just a card. It's just shit that people, organizations give you. Like it's all important.
Okay, he's the same situation, 50 feet out, coming in fast as possible. And he said to himself, "I'm going to buy myself a little extra time here. I'm going to say, 'God help me,' just to make sure that Marilee understands that I'm a good guy before I get off with her purse. But I really don't mean it."
I don't know his relationship with God. And you can't pretend by any means, and you can't just pull it in at will and say, well, I no. It doesn't work like that. All right? If you want to be in the right room where you are experiencing the beauty of the world and favor and protection and all this other stuff, you've got to be it. You can't just keep asking for it. You can't be living in the left side, and living in the world and creating all this pain and trouble and then ask for a favor.
Okay, the guy's coming at you again, 75 feet out, maybe 50, coming full gallop, going for your purse. I see him coming. At 12 feet, I stand up, put a leg out, have him in the knee as he comes through, and I give him a chop in the back of the neck and put him down. What do you do then? You just give him your purse? Stay here.
No, I'd ask him if he was okay. What are you doing? I'm not going to assume that he wanted my purse. I'm going to assume that you tripped him and he fell. Are you okay? I don't know what he was doing.
What if I cut my hand?
I'd say, John, what are you doing? Why did you do that?
If I say I'm stopping this guy from stealing your purse?
How did you know? If
Well,
you said that to me, I would look at the guy and I would say, were you going to steal my purse? I don't know.
of course not. No, I'm sorry, baby. No, ma'am. No, not me. I'm not gonna do that. And by the way, did you call the police? No, good. I'm fine.
Well then, is there anything I can do for you? What do you need? Are you okay?
When you visit the factory for your new Italian shoes,
Yes.
and you walk in the Spanish Steps or wherever it is, somebody's gonna walk up to you and throw a baby into your arms and then rifle every pocket you've got. What do you tell them? Oh,
That's funny.
All right, well, some version of this is probably all true, I'm sure.
And well, I have to ask, like, why then is it like that? Why is it normal for the thievery? What's going on? Why is that so acceptable?
That's particularly acceptable in Italy. I don't know why, but it is for some reason.
I'm
At
just gonna
least
take
among tourists.
what you have. I'm just gonna take what you have, right?
Right.
Well, if we know that, if we know they're gonna take what we have, I'm gonna pack myself down with stuff they could have. Here, take it.
Yeah. Well, I suppose
Right?
that's one answer. Yeah.
Here, I'm gonna wear all the clothes that I don't want anymore. Gonna take the bag that I don't care about. Here, take it.
Yeah, well, see, there's a difference. I mean, I'd probably pack my pockets with a C4 and take a trigger. So there's a difference. I'm punitive. I would be punitive in that case. I would be eye for an eye. You're coming after me for my purse. I'm taking you down. You know, difference.
But an eye for an eye is not that. You took mine, I'm going to take yours. An eye for an eye is if you take one, I'll give you the other. What do you need? Clearly, you need it. You need it more than I do.
Am I misinterpreting eye for an eye?
Yes.
If I give you one eye, I give you two eyes?
Yes.
Instead of if you take my eye, I'll take yours?
Yes.
How'd you come to that conclusion?
That's love.
Of course it is.
While the other is not.
Well, so that invalidates the retribution part then.
That's right.
Retribution doesn't exist in your case. It just
Correct.
plain doesn't exist
That's right.
at all, under any set of circumstances.
Correct.
What if your neighboring country bombs your financial district?
My financial district.
Well, that's the
It.
wrong
Okay, what else? What else you got?
All right.
No, it's not that. See, that's the thing. You have to live without any fear at all. So what you
Yeah.
have to make peace with the end. If the bomber comes and blows up my financial district or anything else, right? And let's say he just blows up our whole town. What's the worst that could happen? We all die? Then what?
Well, I mean, that would be the worst, obviously,
It's not the
besides
worst. That's assuming that's the worst. It's not the worst that could happen because we live on. We just change.
okay.
Right?
All right. Well, yeah, but I mean, you're getting into a set of circumstances.
A
You're
belief
getting into a
system.
belief system now that's doesn't
But
everyone enjoys, but
it
yes.
doesn't matter. It serves us to believe this way. If it serves us, we should adopt it.
Yeah, okay. That's okay.
If it doesn't serve us, we need to drop it. And you just look at the sun every day and you just say, I release everything that does not serve me today.
My mother was teaching me how to drive in a 1930 something or other Studebaker, I think, or something, maybe 40. Anyway, at the university, on the campus of the University of Montana, we got T-boned at an intersection. We flipped up on our side and up against a tree, and the car was on its side. And I was an illegal driver at that point because I had no learner's permit. So I dropped down to the passenger side, got underneath my mother, and pushed my mother up with my legs behind the wheel and said, "You're driving."
Oh, geez.
That way I was in compliance with the law. And she thought it was a good idea. Because we, I mean, for all sorts of reasons, anyway. So, in your context, either we wouldn't have got hit in the first place, or we wouldn't have been driving, or whatever, or something, or the woman hitting us wouldn't have seen us, or something. But what? Where did I go wrong in that act?
Because you pushed your mom in the other in the driver's seat.
Well, just the whole thing. Yeah, just what part of that don't you like?
Well, to be honest with you, while you were telling the story, my mind switched to something else. And I said to myself, this is why people have skeletons in their closet. Because there are things that you have done in your life that nobody knows the truth but you. And so it hangs on you. You're carrying those skeletons.
Yeah, I think that's kind of probably a common problem. Yeah, with people. Sure.
Right. It's things that you're not proud of, things that you've said and done, and secrets that you're keeping. That it's just an untruth. You told a different story, but you know the truth,
Well,
and
I
you're
thought it was a
holding
good
it.
tactical move. That's a good tactical move, I thought.
As a
Yep, there's.
kid, just to switch places? Sure.
Yeah.
Sure, why not?
Kept us out of harm's way.
Well, that's the thing. It didn't hurt anybody. You didn't
Right.
hurt anybody, right?
Right.
So now at
No.
this point, you're just trying to save yourself, and that's fine.
Okay.
The bottom line is, am I causing pain to myself or others? That's the rubric. That's what you have to sit there and ask yourself every single time, and you got to change your perception to see who is being hurt by your decision.
So the police officer pulls up in front of the city county building and tells me she gets off her motorcycle and she says, "Mr. Sir, you're double parked. Can I see your driver's license?" So I
How
give her
about
my driver's license
it?
and she says, "I'm sorry, sir, we're going to have to impound your car." And I
Why?
say, "What?" She says, "Yes, sir, we have to impound your car. We have a warrant out for your arrest and on some issues." And so I walk home, catch a cab. She impounds my car. Because there's a warrant out for me. Because I have unpaid parking tickets. Now, who's hurt in that circumstance?
Nobody. There's no crime. No crime has been committed on any of those counts. That's the problem with the system. They're policy enforcers. It's not about crime. It's not about causing pain. It's about money.
But am I wrong by not paying the tickets?
Are you wrong?
Other words, was I correct?
I understand the question. I'm
I mean,
thinking.
I've happened. I mean, it's happened. It happened to me
I
more
don't
than
know.
once.
I don't know about.
I have a
No.
thing about. I don't know how I, gauge my time. Maybe it's just about my time.
It's not about
My
that.
ten.
It's not
I
about
tell
that. It's.
it's
It's not about that. You're defiant. Okay, and what happens when we become very rich and powerful many times is that we're defiant against the system. And only defiant because you understand that money rules the system. So if you can afford to pay all the tickets, and you will eventually, then it's on your time. You'll figure it out when you figure it out. You're in charge because you have money. Now, other people who don't have money don't have time either. So they are more likely to live within the lines of the system.
But that total system is unfair, the
Yeah.
way you describe it. That's totally unfair.
Correct.
Because that makes me a legal rogue and makes them under an
Yeah.
abusive system, under an abusive system.
100%. And it's all about money. So the bottom line
Yeah.
is, did you commit a crime? No, nobody was hurt.
But why am I going to enjoy having my power taken away when your system takes over and now everybody's equal?
Because you're going to understand how beautiful the world can be. You can let go of what you think is power and really enjoy what life is about. It's not about overpowering the power. It's about letting go. This whole idea of other people, somehow or another, we're more powerful than others and we don't want equality. Why? Because other people don't deserve what I deserve? That's crazy. We're all the same. The only thing that makes us different is our passion, our faith, our ambition. That's what makes us different. And the more faith you have, the more passion you have, then you're fearless. And you go out there and you start, swinging from the branches where other people are more fearful. And they don't just take that risk.
Am I damaged goods, do you think?
That's what the
Well, yeah.
doctors say.
They're saying that. It's a whole chorus now. It's not just the odd doctor now. It's a whole system. It's two entire systems.
Right.
Anyway, that's different though.
Well,
Yeah.
okay. Are we done with that? Are we
Sure.
on?
That's yeah, we can be done with that, of course. Yeah.
So I wanted to tell you, I don't know how much time we have, but I don't know how long we've been talking. So,
52 minutes and 31 seconds.
all right, I have time. I
Yeah.
have time to ask you, why, John, did you enjoy Roadhouse? Was it the crime? Was it the blood, the murder? Was it the violence, the knife stabbing, the F word 1,000 times? What exactly was it?
Did you watch Roadhouse?
You bet I did. I told you I was
No.
going to.
Oh my God. Yeah.
Fantastic, he says. I'm like, John. What about this movie is fantastic?
It certainly strikes a chord with people because there's been 50 million people watching. It's the biggest hit in the history of Prime.
That is
Biggest
ridiculous.
hit. Yeah.
I can't
Yeah.
believe that. I mean, why do people still want to engage in this fakery? That was not a real fight by any means. And I want to know why. What's his name? The fighter?
Conan O'Brien.
No, is that Conan O'Brien?
Yeah. Well, the guy with the beard, the guy with the beard.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's Conan. Yeah, he came in as a guest
That's not
star,
Conan O'Brien.
or Conan whatever. Co
No.
Conan the what, some
Huh.
kind of guy.
I know who it is. It's
Yeah.
but now that you said Conan, which is not Conan at all. Anyway,
I'll look it up. Anyway, go on.
he looks like Crash Bandicoot. For anybody that knows what Crash Bandicoot looks like and watches this movie, you're not going to be able to not see it after that. He walks in just like that coyote, and just his whole stance, going, the way he walks in.
Well, yeah.
Was comical. It was just, oh God.
Well, I think Gyllenhaal is a star.
Yeah.
I liked him. I liked
Oh my
him.
gosh. Okay.
You don't like him?
I mean, it's not that I don't like him. I don't. It's the we're talking about a character in a movie, all right? And they tried to, pull off that he was so deadly that he had to maintain his composure because he could easily kill somebody with his bare hands, right?
Well, it's
And
the
he.
same. I mean, that's the same thing as, I mean, Patrick Swayze and Sam Elliott play the same game,
Oh my, and the
and then.
production value though. So all I could see is years ago, I think I've told you this too, when I was probably like, I don't know, 20 years old or something, I was an extra in a movie and there was a bar scene. And they said they needed women who would go up on stage and do a what was it a I can't even think a shirtless contest or something. It
Yeah.
wasn't a wet t-shirt contest, but it was something along those lines. And my boyfriend at the time, he was like, "Go ahead, go up there and do it." I looked at him like, "Are you serious right now?" I couldn't even believe that he would suggest such a thing. I'm like, "Oh, you're not it." So anyway, my point is, being on that side, watching the cameras, the action, the people doing their thing, I'm looking at this bar scene going, "Oh my gosh." I can't even believe that people would buy into this story. Like, you would actually emotionally get into it.
The guy you're concerned with is Conor McGregor.
Yes,
That's who
Conor
you're, yeah.
McGregor. That's right.
Right. I think, I suppose it's a big play on male ego.
Oh, my gosh.
I gotta believe that's what it is. I'm trying to figure out why people, I'm trying to figure out why it's broken all every possible record you can imagine. 50 million people in 2 weeks. I mean, that's
You
amazing.
know, just because 50 million people watched it doesn't mean 50 million people liked it. It just meant that they were like, okay, a new movie has come out. Let's watch it.
I watched it twice
Why?
because I like it.
I know, but what do you like about it? The violence?
Probably.
The fact that he stabbed him, 50 times and there wasn't any blood coming out of his body?
Well, I
I
mean,
couldn't
that's
even
all.
believe how unrealistic it was.
That's. I mean, there's a certain amount of theater in that, of course. Although I think that the punches were landing. I think there was some. I think between Gyllenhaal and McGregor were fighting. I think they were really fighting.
No, they weren't. They were not
I think
fighting.
they were. I think they were. I think there was some real fighting going on there. But listen, that's not the point. The point is that they were. I mean, yes, they did. I mean,
There was
Gyllenhaal
nothing
admits he
real
took.
about that movie at all.
No,
There's nothing
he
real.
admits he took. Well, he admits he took a punch. I'm going to say that he's admitting it publicly that. That he that my, he and McGregor were trading punches. Maybe that's for the sake of the movie. I don't know. That's all right. The point is that it set him up to be a man. It's a manly movie, very manly in the sense of control and power. Okay, that's all there. That's true.
But it was so fake. All of the power was so every actor's part in it. Who was the boss on the boat? I mean, who
Right.
is this idiot? He wasn't a boss. He didn't play off a boss.
Well,
You
he
know what I
was the
mean?
son of the real guy. I mean, he was the son. He
I
was
know,
just the
but
son.
he was just the son. But even as just the son, he could have been powerful. He could have like really been powerful. I don't think the movie was serious at all. Like at all.
It's a remake of an original movie that was very popular.
Right.
So we got to live. They got to stay kind of close to, if that's what they're going to do, is remake Roadhouse. Then they're going to have to remake it in the image and likeness of the original players.
I just see it as a money grab. They're just out of stories, they're out of new material, and they have to keep remaking stuff that's already been made, and it's just a money grab. They have nothing left to entertain us with, and more people are waking up and saying, I don't want to see, the crime and the blowing up and the knife fight and the murder and the I mean it goes on and on.
I know what's wrong with this.
What?
You've never been in a bar fight, have you?
Why would I need to be in a bar fight to
I didn't
appreciate
say you
this?
needed to be in one. I said you've never been in one. It's not a matter of need. You've never been caught in a bar fight.
Okay. Like
Have
every
you?
scene in that movie? No, of course not. Why
Oh.
would I be in a bar fight?
I have no idea, but I've been in them. Maybe
Okay.
that's why I like the movie.
Maybe.
I was my secretary and I, Ann McAllister, was wearing the wrong kind of a shirt one time in Latitude 47. Three guys came after us with her boyfriend. By the time we got done, we went back there twice, took the place apart.
See,
There's
I
something
just,
about go
it's
on.
just so disrespectful.
Amen, of course. Of course. But if some guy comes after me in the bar, da da da, all that stuff as you can imagine in the movie, I'm gonna drop him. Now, maybe that's just a slice of my past. I don't know.
That's why
Maybe I was just
it's
ramped.
not okay to be a barfly. It's not okay just to hang out in bars. I mean, just the idea of the alcohol, the idea of it's okay, it's almost encouraged to fight in the bar and destroy everything. Why is that okay?
Well, no, I don't think it's okay. Of course, I don't think it's okay, but this it's part of what happens when you play in that league, when you play in that life.
It's that is the lowest of the low in the worldly view. There's
Yes.
no self-respect, no respect for others, no respect for life. It's just pure brute.
Well, don't make that speech on the bar if you ever go in there.
No, alcohol is poison. We all know that. It's pure poison. It's literally meant to reduce our vibration, to numb our brain, and to kill us off. And people think it's really cool to get drunk and be like wild animals.
Well,
And then we perpetuate it by watching stupid movies like this. Instead of get your ass in the right room. What are you doing? Yeah,
Okay.
and you know what I mean? So
Okay.
it's people like that in the bar fight who are going to go and burn down the bookstore.
Yeah, that's all true. It all happens. I think what it really maybe gets down to is that I was there. I've been there. I've obviously been there. I can tell you those fights happened. I've been in them. And I know how they play out, and that's pretty interesting. And usually, not very many people get too hurt because it's hard to swing a good punch. But you do what you do. And maybe it's just maybe a long bunch of guys just reminiscing about what it was like in 1980 or
Yeah,
1975.
maybe that's what it is, but it's a Neanderthal. It's so old. It's so barbaric. It's unrefined. It's like you haven't matured. Grow up. I'm not telling you, John. I'm just saying that, this is where we're at.
When you're not,
Well,
that's
I'm saying that,
like,
it's like, why are we getting off on that kind of material?
this is not a direct attack. What is
Well, I'm saying
this?
that, people, the 50,000 people or whoever, whatever you said,
Million,
this
50 million views in 2 weeks, 50 million views.
just won't work. A lot of people will be left behind doing all that.
Well, I mean, I don't think any of that. I mean, it's okay. It's a statement about society. It is that. It was a hell of a lot of fun movie. And for me, it was a lot of fun because I've done that. I don't need to do that anymore, obviously. But I could probably still, chop a guy in the throat if I needed to. I could put my ulna right through his neck if I wanted to. And I think that just is a reminiscent of the good old days, Doesn't mean it's right.
Reminiscent of the good old days. Okay. Oh God. No. Never in my life have I been like that. Never, ever, never. Never attracted to that kind of guy. Nothing. This is so not me. Funny.
We would come off of a, I mean, it all depends on the port. Ports are bad guys anyway. stevedores, whatever it is. You'd come off a port, and it's territory almost. It's a territorial fight almost because you walk down the street. In the set of circumstances,
It's
it's a
complete
territorial
arrogance.
fight because you show up.
Arrogant. It's so childish. It's like you don't
Well,
own anything. Hey, this is God's world, and we're free to live here. We all are. You don't own any part of it. It's
I
not
mean,
okay to
that's a movie.
impose
I mean,
on
that's a
my
movie by
life.
itself. I mean, you could take the entire cast of Roadhouse and put you in it, and you can start talking about the game. It'd be a completely different movie. I get that. Sure. Yeah. Everybody came in.
Well, like my son would say, there wouldn't be a movie. That's true. Yeah, that's true. No, I just live differently. I
Well,
love.
you've made that clear for the last hour plus. I mean, I get it. And you're good at how you live. You really are. I mean, from my perspective,
Yeah.
you're good at how you live, you know.
What
But
do you
and I,
think?
you know,
What?
huh? I just I well, you know, I won't I promise there won't be any more bar fights, okay? Probably not.
Yep.
Yeah, but I
Okay.
mean, I know how to duck when the lounge lizard is coming across airborne, coming across the top of the table. I kept one of the lounge lizards, in fact. Kept one. I got it here in my house. A chair got thrown. Yeah. Yeah. That's a part of some people's lives.
Sure.
Whether you like it or not, it just is.
I have nothing to say about that. We all choose to live the life we want to live. But it's like it's those kind of people that need me to straighten it out because now they're hurting in pain and they got ghosts in their closet and they're screwed up and they're they just can't fall in love.
Yeah. Is that why you and I get along so well?
Why?
Based on need.
All well, okay. I'm gonna change the course a little bit right now. So anyway, by the time I end that the movie came to an end, John, I was laughing. I'm like, this is so ridiculous. But I thought, John, you owe me 2 hours. I don't know how you're gonna make it up to me, but you do. Oh, yeah. In the
All right,
meantime, yeah,
well.
no, we're not going yet because I want to end with this. In the meantime, I get back to my Anam Cara. I highly recommend this book. It's so beautiful. And this guy, his writing is just, if you resonate with it, you get it. And he talks about friendship. He says, a friend different from an acquaintance, friendship is a deeper and more sacred connection. A friend is a loved one who awakens your life in order to free the wild possibilities within you. I mean, think about that line. A friend is a loved one who awakens your life in order to free the wild possibilities within you.
Yeah, those were all pretty good lines, all right.
Who can testify to that? That's where it becomes magical. If you can't say that you've never had a friend in your life who awakened the wild possibilities within you, then have you ever really had a friend?
Well, again, it's you have to agree with that, but I don't know, is that fair?
Yes, it's fair. And then he says, when you fall in love, common sense, rationality, and your normal, serious, reserved, and respectable persona dissolve. Suddenly, you are like an adolescent again, and there is new fire in your life. Well, suddenly, yeah, you're like an adolescent. And unless you become like the children, you'll never get into heaven. Heaven is love. It's the essence of love. And when you fall in love, when you're feeling like you're falling in love with someone, that's when you feel it. You feel all of your common sense and your rationality and your normal seriousness, all that respectable persona dissolved. You become like a child. All the adult fight fades away. All your fears fade away. All of a sudden, everything is good in the world because you're in love. You don't being to do that or experience that with. You have to become it. When you fall in love with you experience exactly what he's writing about. And you relight that passion within you. It says, when you give in to creative passion, it will bring you to the ultimate thresholds of transfer. That is so true. It's like there's a whole new you again. Every time you fall in love with something, there's a whole new you again. You have a new passion. If you just focus on something and then you fall in love with it, you can't get enough.
Well, it sounds like a terrific book. I mean, you're dead on
Oh,
the money. Yeah.
God. Every page tells it. And it's like, oh, so to our earlier conversation, as I can, talk to the other side. It's not that I can talk. I'm really enjoying how he wrote this. His name is John O'Donohue. It's called System. And ether to speak to me. And we can do that because we're energy. We can tap in. It's just where do we put our focus? What do you admire? What is good in your life? Focus on what's good and what's right. And then you'll have more of that. And sometimes, books like this don't appeal to a great majority of people because they're watching Roadhouse.
Yeah, that's not fair. That's not fair.
I take that back. That's entertainment, but this is beauty. Okay. So anyway, I highly recommend this book, and it's just I want people to feel this kind of love in their life. I really do.
Well, you're the best at it. You're perfect. You really are.
I love you.
Your
Thank
advice are.
you.
I love you too.
Thanks for putting up with me.
Not a problem.
Okay.
That knife cuts both ways. Okay.